I just want to pause, though, on that. Like, when was the last time you were inside either a Barnes & Noble or a Friday's?
Are you recording?
Yes.
Excellent. Friend of the show, one of our friends, and I, when we lived together in college, used to periodically, like, on weeknights or, like, weekends when we didn't have anything to do, one of us would just be like, do you maybe want to go to Friday's? And we would, like, sit at the bar and, like, get a couple beers and a dessert.
That's cute.
Or sometimes get, a full meal. But we were always, like, the only ones in there.
You and I used to do that in college at Don Pablo's. We used to go just drink Coronas and eat free chips and salsa.
There's something comforting about a chain restaurant.
I'm still here for Don Pablo's, truthfully.
Even after working there and it being the worst job ever, would still eat there 100%.
Yeah, Don Pablo's is my favorite chain restaurant.
I still really like it. And I will tell you, after working there, like, the food, nothing really about the food is gross. Like, it's all on the up and up that way. But just, like, management is rough. But, you know.
At your location. At my location. Some shady motherfuckers.
Yes. No, I don't know. When was the last time you were in a TGI Fridays? And also, I love that it's still fucking like TGI. Can we talk about that?
Yeah, nobody calls it TGI Fridays. Let's go to TGI Fridays. I probably haven't been in a Friday since, truthfully, like, sixth grade or something.
I used to go there every year for my birthday. Like a true Midwesterner.
Like a true Midwesterner who was born in the 90s.
Yeah, I think that's why chain restaurants feel comforting to me sometimes. Like, I hate them, but also I'm like, maybe I do want to go to Longhorn, you know?
I'm not against chains on, like, principle. And I actually have a lot of friends in my life who've been known to be like, sometimes you just need to go to a Longhorn in the suburbs and, like, get a steak. And I'm like, do fucking you.
And get the fucking table bread with the whipped butter and then get chocolate stampede at the end.
Wow. I've never eaten at a Longhorn, so this is a lot of menu information.
Oh, my God. Okay. Yeah.
Anyway. I dated a guy who used to work at one, though.
Oh. He didn't work at Longhorn
when we were dating, but.
Sure. He had previously. Yeah,
well, he previously worked at Longhorn, and he told me the story about one time when they had, like, someone really important visiting, and he just, like, dropped an entire, like, out of the oven, like, tray of baked potatoes.
Excellent.
I don't know why that stuck with me, but fucking chain restaurants. Also, welcome to Why Are You Like This?
Welcome.
So we could say you're a numerologist, if you will. And that's addiction.
Like 4x dick. Like, it's like four times as large as usual.
Like, how does your navel get like that?
Right.
That's disgusting.
How, though?
I wouldn't want to live in Amish country permanently, but I would visit as a booty call.
I was so distracted by sexy mystery. Fuck.
It's totally fine. I said sexy mystery, and you were like, this one time?
Please enjoy the music while your party is reached. I'm going to peak in high school and then die.
Welcome. Home to at least one TGI Fridays enthusiast.
Hey, no, not anymore.
Whatever. Why Are You Like This is the weekly podcast where we dissect some part of our lives, culture, whatever we're talking about, in order to determine why people are the way that they are. And that's Jamie Ryan in Cincinnati.
And that's Austin Williams. Maybe Why Are You Like This daily tweeter in Chicago.
Hi, get at me. You can find me on Twitter at Wylt.
W-A-Y-L-T.
Tweets.
Wylt tweets.
Wylt tweets.
Anyway, I just wanted to throw that out since we're doing that. Since you're doing that.
That's a cute thing. Since I'm doing that, thank God, what a brief, lovely thing. In the sharing is caring of kudos, Jamie does write some of the tweets. I'm just a poster.
Thank you.
But it's a fun way to get a little preview or of some of the quotes we think are the most relevant from that week's episode. So if you're somebody who's into Twitter, find us on the internet.
Yeah. Anyway, we're not talking about Twitter tonight, obviously. That would be a nightmare. So.
Oh, God.
What are we talking about?
So, what are we talking about tonight? We're talking about something that I kind of almost struggled to find the right all-encompassing, like, theme for, hey, this is what we're talking about tonight.
Yes.
But I'm calling it loosely Band-Aid Girlfriends and Boyfriends.
Yeah, yeah. That is what I would call it.
Okay. That's the best thing I've got. And so, what, you ask, is a Band-Aid Sig Other? Well, I'm going to attempt to tell you what one of those is by telling you, like, I guess just a little story about your girl.
Okay. When you were a Band-Aid or you were having a Band-Aid?
I don't know. You be the judge.
Okay, cool. I'm ready.
So Band-Aid girlfriends / boyfriends, and I'm talking about this contextually. Maybe I'm going to say girlfriend more because I've never been a boyfriend. I have had some boyfriends, but I've never been one.
Not yet.
Not yet. You never know. In the words of Biebs, never say never. That said, I feel like the general kind of ish of Band-Aids is how we try and fill in the gaps with, like, relationships and needs. So, like, you know, like a Band-Aid over a cut.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. To kind of paint this scene, I'm going to tell you a little dating anecdote from my own life.
And Band-Aids are also temporary.
Well, we'll get to that.
Yeah.
Because I got feelings on the finite or not finiteness of it all. So let's get to it.
Yeah.
So I was dating a guy. This is several months ago, a good chunk of time at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Who's just, like, not the right dude for me, right?
Sure. Yeah.
And, like, hindsight's 20/20, and so I'd say, like, there are just, like, some serious, like, fundamental compatibility reasons that I can see now, but I won't get into, and, like, at the time, yeah, it wasn't always obvious.
Right, sure.
But generally, he, like, didn't treat me that great, and that feels, like, embarrassing to say.
Most definitely. And I'm not saying that it should. It should not feel embarrassing. I'm saying that, like, I agree with you that, like, admitting to, like, not being treated well is often embarrassing.
Thank you for saying both of those things. It's actually super validating. It's embarrassing to say that you, like, I spent time with someone who, like, didn't treat me well. That's hard.
It is. And it shouldn't be. We should all be more chill about that. But it's really tough.
Yeah, it is. Because it feels embarrassing.
There. It does. So,
but I was having a hard time pulling myself out of this, like, kind of shiesty treatment situation because, like, circumstances that really had nothing to do with him, like, after and during that time, like, some life-ish felt tough, and I was, like, thirsty for some companionship.
Sure, yeah.
So I probably gave that relationship, like, higher hopes and was, like, really trying to, like, manifest something that wasn't there, I guess, just because of that.
Yeah, out of need.
Out of need. Out of want, truly.
Yeah.
Maybe need, but also want. But, like, ultimately, like, whatever. In an attempt to, like, shake feels for him, I was like, I think I need to go out with someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a full, like, funny, like, I slid into someone's DMs, and it's a great story that I'll save for another time, maybe. And I was like, hi, do you want to get a drink with me? And homie was like, yeah, for show. And so I stepped out on the dude that I had been seeing and was like, okay, I'm going out with this other guy. I went out with him, like, twice, and there was, like, such an initial contrast between guy whose DMs I slid into and guy who I had been dating.
Yeah, yeah.
It, like, the contrast was so stark that, like, it was exciting. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, like, oh my God, like, in some ways this feels, like, so different from this other person. Just, like, their personalities were really different. The date vibe was really different. Well, and I was like,
did it feel like things that were missing with the guy that you were seeing were, like, present with the DMs guy?
I think a couple times, like, or, like, at the beginning, like, the first couple dates, I was like, yes, there were, like, some things about him that I was like, this is great.
Yeah, it's refreshing if someone has qualities that you're, like, hungry for.
100%. So there was, like, a little bit of that there. So I broke things off like a fish with the first dude.
Mm-hmm.
And then kept seeing the DMs guy, right?
Yeah.
And in seeing that second guy, it, like, kind of became clear to me that I, like, really didn't want to date that guy either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For, like, a variety of reasons. But he wasn't a bad guy.
No.
And I generally am like, your moral compass points north, and, like, he wasn't playing weird games with me, which the first guy absolutely was.
Yeah.
So I, like, stuck in it, but it became clear to me that I'm, like, you're not, like, somebody I don't want you to be my boyfriend. Mm-hmm. I don't want to date you for serious. I don't see this going anywhere, but I'm going to hang in.
Mm-hmm.
And so then, like, I don't know, time goes by, and then he comes through with the news that he was going to move and that he was leaving Chicago.
Okay.
And in that lane, he's like, I don't want anything serious because I'm moving.
Sure.
I have to tell you this.
Yeah.
I'm moving. I don't want anything serious.
And that's like forward of him. That's good. Like, let you know what's going on.
It was respectful. Exactly. The way he did it was super sweet. It was like very like, I was like, great. But it's funny because like I had already been like, chill, I don't want to date you. Like,
perfect.
In my own head, I hadn't said it. And so in that moment, I was like, great.
No,
so,
you're like, fuck buddy's moving? Yeah, go ahead.
I was like, great. So can we keep doing what we're doing though? Or like, you into that? And like,
yeah, run
yes,
it out.
You hit the nail on the head. Namely, I was talking about sex. Sorry. Hi.
Sorry. Yeah.
And he was like, yeah. So that worked for a while.
Yeah.
Until it started to feel like it wasn't fair.
How so?
So, yeah. So, it worked for a while, and I felt like it was equitable, and I felt like we were, like, very communicative about what we were doing, and we were really on the same page. And then it started to feel like we were only getting together when, like, he wanted to and not when I wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, when I was instigating.
And let's be clear that, like, you were just looking for sex.
Yeah, no.
Not to put you on blast, but, like, that is your motivation.
I mean, you're putting
here.
Me on blast a little bit, but yeah, 100%.
I feel like it's important as we move forward in the story.
It's definitely important as we move forward in this story. I was just looking for sex and truthfully, like connectivity and, like, good conversation. And I had said that because, for me, that's an important part of good sex. Like, I need to feel...
You want to know the person.
Yeah.
Even if you're not with
them. Some kind of connection that's beyond, like, pure physicality.
Your genitals.
Like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I, like, and listen, that's not everyone's cup of tea, but... For me, I don't really feel like I can have, like, good sex without that.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah.
Because I don't know how I can have chemistry without, like, that connection.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how you can have good sex without good chemistry.
Yeah.
There.
I don't know. Some people claim to be able to, but who knows?
That, I mean, it's a whole nother episode,
It
truthfully.
Definitely is.
What makes good sex? Ooh, stay tuned.
Here it comes, yeah.
So, it was feeling one-sided because of, like... I'm instigating and you're like, no, but then when you're instigating, fine. And I'm like, okay. And so then it started to pivot into, like, I kind of felt like he was, like, emotionally, like, dumping on me a little bit or, like, venting to me.
Yeah.
Which was truly, like, not what I was looking for in the relationship.
And yeah.
And there wasn't space for me to do that with him, but, like, I didn't want to.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that he was doing it again made, like, it feel imbalanced.
Yeah, and it's curious to me that he maybe didn't pick up on the fact that, like, he was doing that to you and you were not doing that to him.
Yeah, I honestly don't actually feel like he did pick up on that, but...
Because you would think that, like, I don't know, often people, like, ratchet their behavior to, like, semi-match the other person.
100%.
As far as, like, intimacy goes, but go on.
No, I agree. And I think sometimes, like, in dating, I can be, like... guilty of doing that too much of, like, not just being who I am and how I feel, but, like, trying to match. I feel like that's a thing that can be, like, easy to slip into.
For sure, yeah.
But I just, like, it wasn't what I was looking for. It felt, like, unfair. So, long story short, I pulled the plug on that one, too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of where I got, the girlfriend Band-Aid-ish vibes. Because I felt like he was using me, DMs, second boo.
Yeah.
As this, like, emotional, like, vent.
It's like a placeholder.
As, like, a placeholder.
Like, he didn't
have
that
person he could bother when he wasn't going to bother his, like, close friends. I was kind of, like, this person that, like, I don't know, he felt like he could, like, just, like, monopolize my time in, like, a selfish way.
Yeah. Yeah. And without going into it too much, I will say that, like, I agree with you based on, like, some things that you told me, that he interacted with you throughout the week over text often, like, as though the two of you were dating.
Yeah.
Although you were not.
Correct.
And that, who's to say, like, what the right thing is, but.
Well, yeah, and so that's, I mean, that's where we're kind of going to get into, because with he and I, it was, like, we kind of started out in, like, a datey way, and then we pivoted into, like, a fuck buddy, friends with benefits, whatever the kids want to call it these days.
I would say you guys were friends with benefits, because you were definitely friends while you were fucking.
I would call it a sexual friendship.
Yeah.
But all that said, it kind of brings us to a complicated, like, point. So I'm like, okay, then it felt girlfriend band-aid-y to me, and I was like, that's not what I'm trying to do. Mm-hmm. And then it felt like one-sided, whatever. Which, like, just should bring us to the topic of, like, fuck buddies, friends with benefits, however you're calling it, whoever you're screwing that you're not trying to date.
Right.
And I want to start here, and I want to talk about the sexy side of things, mm-hmm. about, like, these kind of band-aid-y relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, we're going to talk about the emotional stuff, too. Re-emotional cheating. Don't worry, we're getting there, people.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
And piecemealing relationships.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The whole shoot and match.
Shoot and match.
So, fuck buddies. What are your just initial feelings about a fuck buddy? Like, when somebody is like, I have a fuck buddy, or, like, is looking for a fuck buddy, or it's a plot line on a television show. Just, like, what are your vibes?
My feelings, I don't know. Sometimes, like, fuck buddy, like, the idea of it, like, makes me feel uneasy. However, like, I have had them before and, like, fully support anyone who just, like, wants to fuck because they want to fuck. But I don't know. Sure. I feel like I don't love, like, the cultural narrative of fuck buddies. I think that it's, like, changing a little bit now where, like, women have a little more power.
Give me more there. What do you think the cultural narrative of a fuck buddy is?
So I feel like when we were in college, or maybe, like, even in high school, whatever, so, like, 5 or 10 years ago, I feel like fuck buddies were more, like, something that, like, girls I was friends with in college had and would talk about, like, as though they were okay with it, but then, like, usually were not okay with it. And I felt like I just watched a lot of my friends get, like, tricked into havesy relationships that, like, exploded in a weird way, and then, like, I don't know, I feel like it always ends up being, like, bad news. But at the same time, I will say that, like, I have enjoyed having fuck buddies before, like, and I also think that there's a way to do it where there's, like, nothing wrong with it and no one has to get hurt. But I think that, like, maybe just a lot of people do it wrong. I've also had negative experiences with fuck buddies, so, like, if everybody respects each other, great. But, like, when you are not in a relationship with someone and you don't love them, it's hard to, like, have the level of respect maybe required to have a sexual relationship. I can't believe I just said that. I'm not sure. Wow. Okay.
Why can't you believe you just said that?
Because I do think that it's possible to have, like, a respectful, like, sexual relationship with someone who you're not in love with. That's absolutely possible. But I just think
I agree.
Maybe that it's harder, or it's, like, you have to be more cognizant of it, maybe.
Okay.
Like,
I feel that.
Like, you're maybe not automatically as respectful of that other person.
Yeah.
As if it were your partner. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I would agree with that.
Yeah,
I think
that took me a long time to get there. God, I don't know.
No,
so
I'm
pro fuck buddy in, like, a sexual revolution kind of way, but I just think that a lot of people do it wrong, and I think that's what we're going to talk about. So go ahead.
Yeah. Well, so I want to hit, like, some of the markers I think that you hit. Cultural norms of it. I feel like the cutesy Hollywood version that we've seen played out is always that, like,
in those two movies that were the same movie. Go ahead.
You're talking about Friends with Benefits, that was Justin Timberlake and Mila Kunis, which came out at the same time as Ashton Kutcher and
Natalie Portman.
Natalie Portman, and they were in No Strings Attached.
Yes.
And it was both, like, friends having sex, and then, like, it ends in, like, love.
Right.
And that's, like, the cutesy, like, Hollywood rom-com, whatever version, is that, like, people actually, like, there's some underlying deeper feeling than, like, just sex, and then it ends in this really sweet way.
Right. And that maybe, in the same way that, like, princess narratives fuck us up culturally, like, maybe that makes people hold out hope for fuck buddies also. I don't know. Just a thought.
I really don't think you're wrong.
Yeah.
But it's funny because I feel like when anybody describes, like, a fuck buddy situation to friends, like, whenever I hear this, the response is always, that shit never works.
Yeah, the response is pretty negative or very wary. It's like, well, like, do what you want, but, you know, it's very, like, it's unsure. I feel like anytime I've told friends about a fuck buddy, the response was tepid at best.
Right. Like, people are usually like, this isn't going to go well.
Right.
Or there's no way you don't have feelings for this person. Or there's no way you can keep sleeping with this person and not, like, get hurt by it.
Or they get hurt. Yeah.
Right. But here's the thing, though, like, the whole, like, that doesn't work. Well, I don't think fuck buddies are really supposed to. I mean, it is kind of a thing that innately, like, has an expiration date on it.
It's a temporary solution.
Yeah. And when, like, most people, I think, are, like, dating or seeking partnership, there is this, like, projection towards the future, like, future plans. And not always, but I feel like a lot of people are dating for... the intent of not necessarily finding a marriage partner, but like finding somebody you're going to roll through life with for like a chunk of time.
For sure.
And if you're like rolling through sheets with someone with that being your only expectation, well, like, what do you mean that doesn't work? Like, the intention isn't for it to be like the rest of your life. No one has
probably
a fuck buddy
not.
That
they're
that'd
like, be
I'm
so
gonna have
weird.
Sex with this person for 50 years.
That's like, a concubine. That's not... Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Oh, that's a slave. gosh. And I don't know, in my situation, I thought that like our expiration date
well,
was
the moving thing is fucking perfect.
I thought he was going to move or that I was going to at some point be like, oh, there's someone else I want to go out with.
Yeah. I think it's harder to find someone else to go out with when you're fucking someone that you don't care about. But
yeah,
it's not impossible.
Not impossible, but honest. But so I was doing like a little bit of reading about this. And it's funny to me because I feel like the term amongst anybody that I know.
Mm-hmm.
And that we keep using in this conversation right now is fuck buddies. I feel like that's what everybody says. But it used to be, I feel like, something more that people would say friends with benefits.
Yes.
And maybe some of that has to do with, like, just, like,
we're all louder sexually, yeah.
More cursing. I don't know. But I actually think there's, like, some syntax points.
Mm.
About like fuck buddies v
which
with
one's
benefits.
In front?
Well, no, that's not really where I'm going with it.
Like, and people who are handicapped versus handicapped people? No.
No, you are taking that in a different way, but God bless.
So sorry.
I'm not going where you're going, but I'll take you somewhere else.
Yeah, go ahead.
So buddies is like synonymous with friends, right? But mm-hmm. I don't know. There's something innately more casual about buddy and mm-hmm. I feel like less weighty than friend. And like, actually, it's not like the order of operations here at all or the use of the word fuck versus benefits. But I actually want to talk about the word like friend or friendship.
Mm-hmm.
So getting into like our second favorite source behind Wikipedia, Psychology Today.
Yes.
they were somewhere I went and like read like, maybe what like a dated-ish articles from 2015.
Sure. Yeah.
But they were talking about like what does it really mean to be friends with benefits, and I mm-hmm. was like, okay. And I feel like three, four years, you know, it was like 4 years ago. People like you would hear friends with benefits like more as like a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And like the sexual part of the connection is like easy to fall into because it's sex.
Mm-hmm.
But what about the friends element? Because yeah. A friend is typically somebody you trust and who trusts you, and like a relationship like can develop there through like experiences mm-hmm. and like circumstances, but like mutual interests and like shared history and like unique situations and then like compatibility. And
I honestly like, always thought of a friend with benefits, like when we used to say that as a term a lot, like I always thought of it as someone that I was friends with first and then decided to start sleeping with. Like, I would think of, I don't know, I would more call like a random person you met and then kept fucking a fuck buddy. But like, if you knew them previously, I guess in my head, I would consider that a friend with benefits. Because the friend
that like
existed
it
first.
It was somebody you were friends with for a long time and then you started sleeping
exactly.
with.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. This is like, it's an interesting conundrum because I think those are two inherently different situations.
Mm-hmm.
And because they're different situations, it also makes them different band-aids.
Mm, definitely. One is like two band-aids.
Which one and how so?
I feel like a fuck buddy is simply a sexual band-aid. Okay. Like that's the only need that the fuck buddy is meeting. Whereas a friend with benefits becomes this gray area where like, yes, they're meeting your sexual needs. So there's that band-aid. But there's right. also some kind of companionship band-aid with like sexual intimacy that's like working its way in there. Because if you're also friends with that person, and you're like sleeping with them, it can like very easily, and I'm not saying always, but like become like spending the night or like having breakfast together or like weird things like that, that almost feel closer to a relationship when it is a friend with benefits, because you already have the friendship foundation. So that's what I mean when I say like more than one band-aid.
Well, yeah, because I feel like if you, like, regardless of how you label it, if sure. you're sexually involved with somebody who you already care a lot about, emotions are going to build, and so is going to, like, trust and intimacy and, like, connection and familiarity. Like,
yeah, without you trying, that'll happen. Yeah.
And that's where I feel like things get tricky.
Yeah, you gotta know that going in. Like, you can't, I mean, fuck, yeah.
What do you think's more emotionally dangerous? Like, friends with benefits or fuck buddies?
Friends with benefits. Those terms
based on how we just define them.
Friends with benefits, 1,000%. I think that you can keep fuck buddies pretty clean. But I think that they'll fuck you over in different ways, potentially. Like, I feel like the danger with a fuck buddy is maybe that, like, if you don't know them as well, like, you don't necessarily have, like, trust with them. And so the likelihood that, like, I don't know, they'll, like, show people naked pictures that you sent them or, like, do something that you ask them not to do when you're having sex, like, is higher than with a friend with benefits. But with a friend with benefits, there's perhaps emotional intimacy that you don't have with a fuck buddy that allows that friend with benefits to, like, I don't know, you can be hurt by a friend with benefits almost in ways that a partner can hurt you if they know you as a friend.
I feel like in exactly the same ways, like, a partner can hurt you. And I mean, I think we've talked about this, like, throwback early season one when we talked about seasons of friendship. Mm. That sometimes breaking up with friends is shittier than breaking up with romantic God. Partners.
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm.
I stand by
that.
That's
why you can never fuck a long-term friend. Never, ever.
I was like, well, not if they're going to stay a long-term friend.
Not unless you want to get married. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. But you know what? There's situationally, like, things that are goofy and different for everybody, because, like, one of my ex-boyfriends is one of my best friends.
Fair.
So,
fair. Everyone is
and
different.
And everybody always cocks their head and is like, are you guys for real?
No, but I don't even think twice about that. When I see you guys interact, like, it's, I never think of him as your ex, like, ever, ever.
And I don't think anybody who knows us thinks of us as exes. People are just like, these are two, like, BFF soulmates who, like, accidentally dated.
Exactly. Exactly. It's like when one of our best friends who's gay and I dated in middle school, it's like we were like, oh, there's something special about our friendship. But we didn't understand that, like, we were both gay and just thought each other were cool.
You know, sometimes when you are friends with, like, somebody and you just think that they're great, at certain times in your life, you're like, oh, should we date?
Exactly. Yeah. Because you're like, oh, I want to spend all my time with you. And, like, this, I have so much fun. And
oh,
I idealize
like I guess that
you in
means
these ways.
Dating. Yeah.
That probably means dating. Why do I not want to kiss you?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Facts coming out hot
yeah.
and
but
hard.
But perfect opportunity. So you have that boyfriend who you love spending time with, but you mm-hmm. don't kiss. So then you just get a fuck buddy on the side and you're all good, right? You've piecemealed correctly.
You've piecemealed, you've
I am not found... serious, by the way.
Yeah, no, we're, listen. You've piecemealed, you've, like, outsourced your sex, you're keeping the emotions in line. So let's fucking talk about the emotional band-aids.
Ooh.
Did that feel emotional when I sang it like that?
It did. It
Thank
did.
You. So that said, we've talked about, like, I don't know, finding your, like, sexual homie. Mm. And that, like, fuck buddies, if as long as no one's like actually in some other sort of commitment.
Yeah. Everybody's
no harm, yeah, no foul.
A free player.
Right. But like, I feel like when we talk about people you're leaning on emotionally, I do feel inclined to bring up like the word emotionally cheating, and I wanted to,
yeah, and it can help us talk about the emotional aspect of a relationship as a separate entity too.
Yes.
Maybe before we talk about it as a band-aid, like talking about it as cheating separates it from sex. So go ahead.
No, totally. So when I thought about this initially, and I was like, okay, so what is emotional cheating? And I was like, well, I guess it's just like going to somebody else for like emotional support. And I was like, and sometimes
I don't feel like I fully understand it.
Listen, I'm going to try and break it down, yeah, for you. So that was where my mind goes. I'm like, okay, you're going to someone for emotional support. And then like the part of it that maybe feels like cheaty to me in this like way, or like how I imagine that like emotional cheating part of a relationship,
mm-hmm,
would maybe be because maybe part of the emotional support you're leaning on this other person for involves talking about your romantic relationship,
oh,
like with this person.
Sure, yeah.
That is where my mind went initially. But I was like, I have to do some better investigation here to figure out what that actually is or how it's defined by.
Yeah.
So there's a lady named Peggy Vaughn.
Peggy, welcome to the program.
Peggy. Welcome to the program, Peggy. And she is the author of a book called The Monogamy Myth, A Personal Handbook for Recovering from Affairs.
Wow.
Which sounds like an intense read. It also, just from like the article that I read where it was kind of like an editorial, I think it was like Women's Day or something, truthfully, like interviewing her.
Sure. But hey, on par with our recent research, listening to things for women generations older than us.
Yep, that's right. On your mom's coffee table, ladies. That said, like the little snippets I got there, it felt like very heteronormative, and I want to like mention that. And then I also just want to say, we're talking a lot about sexual partners, and we're talking about emotional cheating, and I do just like want to call out and like acknowledge polyamory, and then like also make sure that I say, but we're talking about monogamy right now.
Yeah, I felt like maybe saying something at the beginning of the episode about that, because this whole conversation changes if you're introducing the idea of polyamory. We're just talking about people who are either in a monogamous relationship or have been in the past, and like are probably striving to find one partner. Poly's a whole different game. Yeah.
It's a whole different game. It's a whole nother episode. And yeah.
Yeah.
It was a whole different episode.
This is not that episode.
And this ain't that one. So that said, I pulled up her like kind of definition of what emotionally cheating was. And she basically defined it as like emotional affairs. She say they occur when one partner is channeling physical or emotional energy, time, and attention into someone other than the person they are in a committed relationship with, to the point that their partner feels neglected.
Oh, so like if you're like helping Cheryl like take her car to get the oil changed and like fixing things at her house, and then she's upset, so you take her to dinner, and your wife is like, why are you spending all this time with Carol? Like, we were supposed to do this thing. I haven't seen you. Anyway.
Yeah. Like, that was kind of the picture that was painted. I kind of do the part that makes it seem like the cheat bit is the your partner feels neglected. But that also, I was like, that's kind of limiting because,
well, everything is subjective.
So subjective, and like jealousy is a real problem in relationships sometimes.
Sure,
and people,
yeah,
aren't always correct about, there's something about like a partner emotionally like investing in someone in a way that's unhealthy and not their partner. But there's also something to be said of like, don't stick around with people who don't want you to have any friends, because that's abusive.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's a line to be straddled there. And so I read that and I thought, I don't know if this is my definition. So then I went to a less reliable resource.
I'm ready.
And I said, what does Bustle think?
Yeah. what do they think?
Okay. So there was an article, because of course there was, that was like, what's emotional cheating? 12 people reveal where they draw the line in their relationship. And
okay.
I was like, yes, tell me
and
more.
And then I'll tell you what I think when we're done, because I have an opinion.
Good, I
usually
want it. Always. We've got a lot of opinions on this show. I just want to read you like a few one-liners, but they actually were all way more subjective and I just thought painted like a better picture.
Okay, so yeah, what's the cheating? Tell us.
So one person said lying about how close you are to someone else. Mm. And I was like, that's, yep. Somebody touched on the same thing I touched on and said complaining about your partner to someone else. Mm. And I was like, yeah, that's like, if somebody were like venting, if I were dating a guy and he were venting to another girl about things in our relationship, I would be uncomfortable.
Okay, well, pause on that. Does it matter like what his intention in his friendship with that other girl is? Because like, if yes. we lift heteronormativity off of this, like if he were talking to me, like if a male friend were venting to me about his girlfriend, it still feels shitty, but it feels a little different than if he were venting to a straight female because I'm a gay female.
Well, I don't know that I feel like sexuality like so wrapped up in it. Maybe because I'm like, you guys aren't physically cheating. It's the emotional cheating bit that we're talking about.
So I'm asking then, like, does him venting about a partner to a male friend count as emotional cheating then?
That's a really good question. And, like, I think it's so subjective. And I also want to say, like, everybody has to vent about their relationships. It's so important to have friends because if you, like, just had to swallow everything that was going on in your relationship, you would probably explode.
Yeah. But I feel like it depends on the caliber of the relationship with the person you're complaining to, is what I'm saying.
I do too, and I actually, like, the other, like, little asterisk I wanted to insert for myself is, it depends on what you're complaining about and how much yes. intimate information you're sharing.
For
and
sure.
I guess that's really what I mean. Because if somebody that I was dating was like, Austin was so annoying last night and, like, wouldn't shut up about this one thing, or kept Instagramming dinner while she was cooking and I wanted to kill her, I would be like, yeah, no, all of this feels very appropriate.
That's
for things
fine.
To be said
yeah.
about me behind my back. Yeah, fine. it's like, it's a level of like what you're talking about, too.
Yeah.
But here's some of the other things people threw out. I'm going to rapid fire with some of these.
Mm-hmm.
One of them was sharing big news with someone else before your partner.
Mm.
One was sending inappropriate messages. That feels pretty straight
well,
up.
Yeah.
One was making your partner a placeholder. I'm just going to give this a light elaboration. It's like if you're actually kind of into somebody else, but maybe like oh, like your crush is like dating somebody else, so you're just like filling somebody in.
Oh, and holding yeah. out. Yeah.
Placeholder. This again goes to like lying, but somebody just saying like deleting texts or calls. Somebody just straight up went putting someone else before your partner. And I went, that feels solid. Like a
yeah.
solid answer.
And that's like a summary of all the ones before it, kind of.
Yeah. And then ones of lying about someone who's, quote, just a friend.
Mm.
Showing signs of puppy love towards someone else. I'm like, yeah, so if you're like super flirty or like doting on somebody, that's weird.
Mm-hmm.
Sharing big worries or concerns with someone else. Again, that's another one kind of like the talking about your problems that feels subjective and really...
Yeah.
Like, it very much, like, depends on what and where.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody else said, like, messaging other people for attention.
Oh.
And I'm like, that just sounds like
That's a very
troubling
real
characteristics
thing
that need to be,
do.
Like, right. And then one that I was like, this resonates with me as something not great.
Mm.
Just the having a work wife or husband.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I recently read an article about how the work wife / work husband is, like, one of the most helpful things for business.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, we can talk about that some other time, because I think it's a really interesting relationship dynamic that is not limited to the bounds of gender or sexuality, but is a relationship that a lot of us have been in.
Sure. And without, like, a hard deep dive or whatever, I will say, like, I feel like you do better work when you really care about the people you're working with and you don't want to, like, leave bullshit for people you're invested in.
It's the same as how we just said that sex is better with a partner rather than a fuck buddy because that's a person who cares about you.
Yeah, and that you have, like, a connection with.
Right.
Totally.
Right.
So I'm here for that. So what are your feelings then on what emotionally cheating is now that I've told you what Bustle, some woman named Peggy, and my loose vibes?
Thank you, Peggy and Bustle. I feel like what they said, like, yeah, all those points are valid. But I feel like the bottom line for me is really like, I think emotionally cheating is when you are sharing more with someone other than your partner, like about what you're thinking or you're feeling or what's going on with you, like having your primary emotional outlet being someone other than your partner, and your partner maybe knowing less about you than that person, or keeping, yeah, so like keeping secrets from your partner that you're telling someone else.
Secrets is always not good.
Yeah. Yeah, because then you create, like, that's like a huge block
dishonesty.
For, yeah, when it's a huge block for intimacy, because then what's happening is, like, you're barring your partner from intimacy and creating it in this little annex with someone else.
Mm.
That's how I feel about
yeah.
it. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I respect all of that. And I guess that's where it's like we've talked about it cheating. But yeah. In what situation, I guess it kind of got me to thinking about, I'm like, okay, sometimes there are like guys in my life who I've been closer friends with when we were both single than when somebody was dating.
Most definitely.
Because you're maybe looking to each other as friends for more of that emotional support that you might like at another time, like when you're in a relationship, get from a partner.
Of course you are. Yeah. If you have a part, when you don't have a partner, you're pulling more like from every other relationship.
Totally. And that can be really hard in friendship when like somebody pairs off, and your relationship changes. I
yeah.
think that's like, can always be a really tricky thing to navigate, whether it's like your girlfriend or your guy friend or like the mm-hmm. sex you're into or the sex you're not into. Like it just can always, it always be tough. It's like that's a hard thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know that my gears definitely went there, but the situation I described with my temporary boo.
Yes.
I felt like at some point he was like coming to me for emotional juju.
Yeah.
And it wasn't something I like felt great in. It wasn't necessarily what I was like trying to give.
Yeah, you didn't want to have that relationship with him.
Yeah.
And you thought that just being fuck buddies made that clear.
Yeah. And that's a complicated thing, I think, because,
well, how much friendship is too much friendship when you're fucking but not dating?
Right. And maybe, like, if it had been somebody else, I would have felt different. But, like, would I have felt different because I was, like, wanted to date them? Like, I don't know. And this is where it gets, like, band-aid-y and piecemeal-y.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think with that, like, we all kind of piecemeal relationships. We don't have sex with the same person that we necessarily do every hobby with, or that we look to for like emotional support in certain situations.
Mm-hmm.
And actually I think like the work husband, work wife thing is like a good nod to that, where like you get support in a work like sphere that maybe you don't get from a partner or a friend,
mm-hmm.
because it's about work.
Yeah.
But somehow like in romance, piecing things together feels really different than in friendship,
it
right?
does.
Like
it does.
The expectation that you have more than one friend and that you hang out with different people at different times is pretty generally accepted.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you say like things like, there's one idea I really subscribe to and I've come back around to, I feel like a lot in dating the older I've gotten, is just the idea that one, I can't be everything for one person, but one person also can't be everything for me.
Absolutely not. It's insane to try to ask them to be.
100%. And so it's like, I don't want you to partake in everything that I partake in. And I don't need you to, you know, be a part of every part of my life, like be the number one player in
mm-hmm.
all of it.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I want somebody who like supports me in all of it.
Yeah,
and that's
yeah.
important. But I think one of actually like the most liberating things for me is probably like a like in dating and in that kind of mindset. It's like a few years ago with like the last person I felt like I was like really in it to win it with in a dating sphere.
Mm-hmm.
Remember I had like some really good news and like some really exciting things happened. Mm-hmm. And he gave me, like, the opposite of the kind of reaction I would have wanted.
Ooh, yeah.
And I felt super, like, unsupported. But then I got support from, like, some unlikely players, like, not who I thought I was going to get it from.
Yeah.
And I feel like the older I've gotten, in some ways, like, the more I'm just open to, like, whoever is going to support me in any given moment. Like, instead of hoping that it's my boyfriend or, like, this one friend. Or, like, my mom's really happy. Like, that I'm just, like, whoever, like, gets on the train with, like, this good thing. Or whoever wallows in this thing that sucks with me. Mm-hmm. It's, like, the right person at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be, like, really freeing, because I feel like, I don't know, the universe usually provides, like, it's not always the person I, like, hoped it would be in the moment, but a lot of times, like, when I'm open to it being from somewhere else, it happens.
And I've also, like, in touching on, like, again, to call back to the Seasons of Friendship episode, I've had people who were just, like, platonic, very short-term friends in my life who were that when a time when I was, like, super lonely or, like, needy or whatever, like, they were an emotional band-aid. And I don't think that that's always bad. And often
you've been an emotional band-aid for me, and it was fucking great.
Yeah. And you've been a band-aid for, like, we do that for each other. So, like, when we talk about that, I don't want to talk too negatively, because it can be good, but both parties have to, like, equally want it.
Well, and I guess that's my question, because we can both agree, like, okay, you can't be everything for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't expect that in friendship, but maybe we put that on, like, dating and our partners in some ways.
And it's easier to idealize a partner, I think, and it's easier to maybe want them to be things that they are not, in a way that you don't project that onto a friend. You accept the limitations of friends a little more readily and are like, oh, I do this with them. I can do whatever activity with a different friend who I am yet to meet, and that's no big deal.
Right. Well, and I think, like, you see that sometimes. I feel like I've watched in some of my, like, girlfriends, and I feel like I'm guilty of this at times. I feel like my younger self was more guilty of this than my present day self. But when, like, people take it really hard when their partner doesn't agree with them about, like, not something important, like, maybe you both, like you watched a movie and you thought, like, a character was a jerk, and they were like, no, that was, like, my favorite character.
Mm-hmm. And not a big deal, actually, perhaps a friend, point of interest.
Not a big deal with romantic partners. Sometimes it's, like, really, like, it stresses people out.
Yeah. Well, and I think especially with character stuff like that, with a partner, maybe you start to look
at, what does it mean?
Right. Then you get in your head about what does it mean? And, like, do we have different morals? Like,
right. 100%. And I mean, I think people feel that in friendship sometimes too. Like, how can we be friends and disagree on things that feel really important to me?
Yeah, but you don't have to break up with a friend. You can just, like, not talk about those things that are speed bumps.
That's true. But all that said, like, it does bring up, like, we've talked about piecemealing and, like, how it feels different in friendship and romance. But, like, okay, here's, I guess, like, an open-ended question for you, and, like, I want your vibes on it.
I'm ready.
But, like, when is it okay to piecemeal parts of romance?
I think when everyone who is a piece is exactly aware of the expectations, and everyone is, like, trying to keep their egos in check. Because I think that when piecemealing relationships, it's very tempting and very easy to slide into using other people and not thinking about their feelings. Because often the goal of piecemealing a relationship, even if you're not doing it consciously, like, even if you just find yourself in these various relationships that kind of meet all of your needs, that's exactly what you're doing. Like, you're meeting all of your needs. So just keeping in mind, like, what the needs of the other people are, who you're using to meet your own.
I think that's fair. I don't know. I'm just, like, having to think on that. It's tough.
But then we're, like, in poly territory. So, like, what is that, you know?
Right. I'm like, when does piecemealing no longer become monogamy?
Yeah, well, it's all gray. It's a gray sliding scale where everyone needs to be talking to each other, but probably isn't.
Yeah, and what you said is, I think, really poignant to mention, just you're getting all of your needs being met.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we're in one of these situations, I mean, I felt like I hearken to it with like the initial dating tales of a 20-something that I told of like the embarrassment of like spending a bunch of time with somebody who's like not treating you that well, and like how that feels embarrassing, even though maybe it shouldn't. But like, it's embarrassing if you're in a situation where you feel like you're not being treated like a whole person, whether you want to be in like a committed relationship with them or not. It still feels bad when you're like, quote, not a full girlfriend or like not a full boyfriend.
Yeah, it does.
Whether you're being leaned on emotionally or physically, because there are times that like I've had that friend that I don't know, maybe it could, like, maybe one of you felt like it could be dating and you guys are going to each other for a bunch of, like, emotional things, but they're seeing somebody else, or, like, somebody that you have feelings for, like, you're, in, like, having sex, but that person doesn't have feelings for you. But, like, contrastingly, like, despite having, like, the embarrassment and shame of, like, feeling like a not full person in certain situations, like we do that like ourselves, like
you're
like,
also
fuck with people,
exactly.
Literally and metaphorically we do it.
Yes So even while you're maybe like getting hurt as like that piece, or being like you're hurt by being that band-aid, like I've been in that situation where I'm like, fuck, I'm like being like used as like, we haven't talked about this term yet, but like a fluffer, like not the person that you're fucking, but the person who does everything else a girlfriend would do except fuck you. And then you go fuck someone else. But like, yes, when I'm in that situation, like I feel slighted, but then I have to like examine it because I'm like, okay, I'm engaging in this relationship. So like, what is it that I'm doing? And like, what am I trying to get? Because I'm obviously here to try to get some kind of need met. And maybe it's not working and that's why I'm angry. But, like, just the need that I'm trying to fill and the need that they're trying to fill are obviously offset if one of us is unhappy. And so maybe it's not – we're just trying to use each other. But if you don't want the same thing, then it doesn't work.
Yeah. I mean, I guess maybe, like, at the end of it, like, piecemealing doesn't work if, like, your objectives aren't the same.
Yeah. You have to both, like, be aware of the piece that you are for each other and know the limitations of that. But you just don't usually have those conversations with piecemeal buddies.
No, because then if you're, I don't know, like, if you're, whether it's physical or emotional, there is this kind of, like, half in, half out. And when you really explain to someone, any person in friendship, in romance, in family, like whatever the relationship is, when you really are like, hey, this is what I feel like I need.
It's intimate.
It's incredibly vulnerable.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of the then time, you've ratcheted up the relationship further than you wanted. So you're like, we just have to keep kind of not talking about this.
Maybe further than you wanted, or maybe you really wanted to ratchet it up that way, but you were afraid that like, if you were like, hey, this is what I really want or what I really need, you didn't want to experience them saying no.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true.
And I've been in, like, situations, both romantic and platonic, where, like, one person's been like, this thing that you're asking me to do, and I've been on both sides of this. I've been, like, the like receiving end that I'm like, hey, I really need this from you, and the person's been like, no.
Yeah.
And it, like, in times that it was a deal breaker, and I've also been the person that's been asked things of and been like, I literally cannot do that for you. I'm not willing to.
Yeah.
And it's like an end game a lot of the time. And I think that's like one of the hardest things about band-aids is because like at the end of it, it's like you asking for what you really need is kind of like the same as like ripping the band-aid off of like, okay, let's like put it all out there. This is what I'm really looking for. I think one of the hardest things in dating sometimes is just being like, hey, this is like what I'm actually out here for.
Totally.
And it's because you don't want to hear the other person say no. And the hardest thing with band-aids is like not being aligned maybe in, you know, what you need or what you want or your expectations, but not being able to say it to each other.
Totally, because you don't have the space for that conversation.
Yeah.
Like, there's not, that's not that kind of relationship. I don't know. That's how I've always felt when I've been a Band-Aid, is that all the unspoken stuff is what really made me make the Band-Aid fall off. Because I'll say, very rarely have I ripped it off.
Well, that's funny.
This week, thinking about, like, girlfriend Band-Aids, relationship Band-Aids, piecemealing friendships, whatever, like, breaking relationships into, like, components that feel kind of sterilized, made me think about, and of course I, like, shot off in a slightly different way.
That's specifically what makes I thought us about yin and yang.
Mm-hmm. Sexual surrogacy, and I don't know how familiar you are with that.
I did come across this because, of course, I did. And I was like, I'm leaving this to James because this is her fucking lane. I guess I'm just aware of it as, like, a thing that people do, and that, like, there's controversy around it being, like, a therapy or not.
The legality is gray. We'll say that.
Yes.
It's gray. I didn't do any specific research.
So what's a sexual surrogate? Tell us.
Sexual surrogates, I did research on them, like, a while ago, and I thought maybe a long time ago I was going to do an episode on sexual surrogacy, and maybe we'll see. But sexual surrogates are exactly what they sound like. So in the same way that, like, a pregnancy surrogate, like, just has the baby for you, a sexual surrogate is simply, like, a person to have sex with in lieu of a partner. And it's different from a prostitute because they are... It's different than other sex workers. I don't know how to say this because, like, they are sex workers, but, like,
right.
The vibe that they have is different. And they're more like, they try to more, like, liken themselves to therapists than sex workers. Yeah. And so
that was my impression.
Yeah. So the clients that see them are really different than people who would, like, be looking on Backpage or something, just, like, for someone to fuck. So, like, people who see sex surrogates are often, like, older people who, for whatever reason, have never had sex before, like, and they're scared and they, like, don't want to have to, like, learn how to date someone at a later age and also feel, like, overwhelmed by how sexually inexperienced they are. That's a lot of what I've seen. I watched a couple documentaries on people that do it for a living, and also about two people who were looking to lose their virginity to sexual surrogates. That was an interesting one.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like I've also heard about it in the lane of, like, people who had special, like, physical needs in the sense of, like, quadriplegics.
Most
and,
definitely.
Like, that kind of thing.
Yep. And a lot of times a sexual surrogate will, like, work with one partner and then with a couple, like, in the case of someone who has, like, a physical disability like that, where, like, maybe they have to figure out, first of all, like, how does my body have sex? Like, how do I enjoy it? And then also, like, how do we do this together? And so, yes, there are cases where, like, one partner will go and, like, do sessions with the surrogate alone. And then, like, they'll bring a partner in. And it's more like a sex therapist at that point. But they're all different because this shit is not, like, it's not legal. So it's not, like, regularized. Ooh, that's not the word.
Normalized.
It's not.
It's not regularized.
There's no, like, system of, like, restriction. What it, like, it's not a regulated industry. That's what I mean.
There you go.
Thank
Nailed
you.
It.
But it's the sex surrogates do a lot of sessions with people where they actually don't have sex with them. So the documentary that I saw, which you can find on YouTube, and if anyone wants to know what it is, I can send it to you. But there is a girl who just, like, is afraid to have sex, and she's, like, 30 and just wants to get it over with, and so, like, sees this male sexual surrogate, and, like, they end up not ever fucking because, like, she actually doesn't like him at all, and she's just, like, very turned off by him as a person. Yeah, and he's kind of weird. I don't know. The other surrogates in the documentary are less weird, but it was a whole bunch of people who were just, like, older virgins for whatever reason, had a lot of anxiety, and so they did multiple sessions with the sexual surrogate where, like, first they just, like, sat next to the surrogate on the couch and, like, held hands, or the surrogate would, like, put her hand on, like, his, her leg just to, like, ratchet up the intimacy, like sexual intimacy, like super slow. So like over the course of like a few months, eventually like this guy loses his virginity to this sex surrogate who he's been seeing for months and months. And it's like a very emotional experience for him. And so like that could be complicated, but that's like literally her job. And they interview her and she's like, I don't know. She seems like she's really good at her job. I don't know. Like she guided him through this thing that he was afraid of. Like it very much felt like a, just like a sexual ferry driver. I don't know. I felt positive about her, but some of the other surrogates were weird. Cause you know, everybody's different.
Yeah. I think it would be an industry that could attract some weirdos.
Well, yeah. I mean, anyone could, like, I could do it tomorrow if I decided that I wanted to. I'm not going to, but, you know. Yeah.
Well,
anyway.
It depends on the paycheck. This is the woman who said she'd drink your bodily fluids for $50.
Get tested and we'll talk. we will. But I don't, that's a sticky one. I don't know. So I think that sexual surrogacy is interesting and it's different than cheating, and I think that it can be something that like you can,
and it's different than fuck buddies.
It's totally different than fuck buddies, and some of it is like the clinicalness around it and like the abstract, or not abstract, but like the sort of like rational decision to see a sexual surrogate, like especially if you're in a relationship with a partner, like if you both decide like, okay babe, like you need to go do this other thing, that feels really different from cheating on the sly. Maybe just simply because it's in the open and it's with like a business transaction. I don't know. You feel me?
Yeah. And like the therapy component to it on some level.
Would that ease you? Like if you had a partner that was like having a lot of issues, I don't know. How would you feel about a sexual surrogate if it was like stuff that you felt like you could not handle?
Wow. I don't know. I think like that sounds like foreign and scary, but this is kind of where we come to like emotional v physical cheating, because as someone who's v pro therapy and sees a therapist, I like if my partner was like, I got some life shit I need to figure out and I need to talk to not you about it, I would be like, great, I support this choice.
Yeah, of course.
But if somebody's me like too. I have some physical stuff I need to figure out without you, I would be like, I don't know.
Right. But then I would feel like I would worry in that moment that like I was being selfish. Like if I'm preventing you from like solving this problem for yourself because I can't handle you like being naked with another person, then I don't know. Is that like shitty of me? And who?
I think I would have to like be in like some like there would have to be a lot of like verbal therapy that I was like a part of. Like in a couple's capacity, that would happen before I would ever like be there for something like that.
And maybe that's a situation where like your partner goes to sex therapy before they do a sexual surrogate. Like, see if we can fix it there before you like actually start boning someone as a surrogate.
Yeah, I don't know if I believe in sexual surrogacy.
I don't know that I believe that it can. I don't know. I was a little bit convinced by that documentary. Like
I know, but you, that's what I was going to say. You've also had more exposure. I'm like, all I know is like a couple Wikipedia, like Google search,
yeah, but
whatever.
It super depends on the circumstance. And I feel like the reason that I feel pro about it in light of that documentary is like simply for the case of like those people who were so uncomfortable with sex generally and just needed someone who was like, literally it was their job to make the other person like comfortably experience sex for the first time.
And let me throw this,
because that's
there.
A big ask on a new partner. Like,
oh, it's a huge ask on a new partner. And I think like maybe my vibe on this, it's like some other shit we all have to work through at different times in life, that like sometimes I think there's stuff you have to work out independently. And if you,
that's what
like,
masturbation
really,
is for. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, God bless. if you had to like work, like if you had stuff that was like so deep and so important and all the things that you felt like you needed to work with a sexual surrogate, I almost feel like that's something you like maybe, aside from like physical difficulties, do you know what I mean? Like if I was, If I was in like a long-term relationship with someone who literally got hit by a train and was paralyzed and was like, I'd like to see someone who can potentially like help me figure out how to work my parts, I would be more there for that.
Yes. Yes.
And I guess some of that, like, I think it's just like honest. I think it's very hard for people like to imagine their partners physically with anyone else, like while they're their partners. And I, again, this isn't a conversation about polyamory. This is like full monogamy, I think, for a lot of people, I should say, because there are people who are doing different things. But I don't know. My vibe on that is, if that's like such a fundamental thing, like, I feel like maybe that person should be like figuring that out, not while they're seeing me.
Yeah, yeah. Like, maybe if it's something that you need a sexual surrogate for outside of a physical issue, like, maybe we shouldn't be in a relationship right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, like, everything is subjective, like we keep saying, and like every case is going to be different, but like, it's hard for me to envision like a sexual surrogate need not wanting me to break, not making me want to break up.
Yeah, 100%. And like, that's not, in no way are, I guess, are you and I even evaluating any kind of real circumstances in which
absolutely not.
We're fully evaluating like how we feel. And I'm like, I don't think I could do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a band-aid I wouldn't be comfortable
yeah,
with.
Yeah, but if you're a single person with, or if your partner's cool with it, I guess, like, yeah, go for it. It could be great. Seems like it could be great, but choose your surrogate super carefully.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's honest.
And hang out with them a little bit before you really get in there. Any good surrogate would do that, depending on your needs.
God bless.
Okay, I don't want to, go ahead, sorry.
I know, we can't derail on sexual surrogates for forever, but I just want to, like, bring it around to the larger. How do you feel about them as a band-aid? Do you know what I mean?
Oh, well, then I feel like you're in the territory of a sex worker. Like, if you are just getting, like, your, like, base sexual needs met by a sexual surrogate, like, you're using them just as a sex worker. Like, they're not helping you, like, overcome anything more, like, therapy adjacent.
Well, I don't mean like using them as like a fuck buddy, but like in some way, like you are using them to do something that you don't feel like your partner could. Like, and so on some level, I'm like, well, how do you feel about like, I mean, do we feel about like a therapist as like a band-aid, like you're going to have talk therapy? I'm like, I'm here for that kind of emotional band-aid.
Yeah. Well, and I actually think that that's an important comparison, because we could liken to the therapist to the sexual surrogate in that the emotional relationship with a therapist feels safe because it's only one way. Like, your therapist is not telling you any of her emotions, and she's not like sharing with you the way that you're sharing with her. Because
if
that was what therapy was, then that would be emotional cheating if you're in a relationship. So
yeah, well, that wouldn't be therapy. That would be like a friendship.
That would be a friendship or a relationship. So
yeah.
On that same note, like, sexual surrogate like has that same degree of like sterilization, where like, yes, the surrogate is probably like engaged in your emotions and trying to make you comfortable, but he or she or they are not like looking to you to satisfy them sexually.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the surrogate is not like looking to the client to meet any of their needs. It's the other way around.
That sounds like such
always.
A weird sexual experience.
That sounds like my whole life until like last year.
Oh.
Sorry.
I love you. Oh my god. Listen, we're just dropping some honest and truthful sexual
bombs. Yeah, ladies,
tonight.
Get to know your bodies.
But actually, though, that's like very important.
Yes. Go see a fucking surrogate. They'll teach you how to know your body, hopefully, if they're a good surrogate. Just call me. I'll text you advice.
You don't have to see a surrogate to figure out. Yeah, listen. There are great diagrams of the clitoris online. Anyway. Okay.
Okay, so I don't want to get stuck on sexual surrogates, because there's another kind of surrogate that I just want to briefly mention that I think is funny, and I kind of want to just have a, like, would you do this moment? But I also stumbled on something called Rent-A-Friend. Have you heard of Rent-A-Friend?
No, but I'm like, is this like a friend escort? Like,
basically? Basically, yeah. And actually, when I was on rentafriend.com, you can either sign up as a member so you can peruse the friends who are available. They're listed by the activities that they enjoy. And if there's an activity you'd like to do, say you want to go
to... I actually think I would be great at this.
I think I'd be great at this too. I think you would be better, but I think that I could be good.
Thank you.
Yes.
I think I would be incredible.
But it's... Fundamentally, it's a pretty good idea.
I think I'd be a good escort, too. Like, I would take me to a party where I didn't know anyone. I thrive.
You would be a good escort. And I could see, like, older Wall Street types being into you. In, like, a where-did-you-find-her-dick kind of way. You know what I mean?
These are my dreams. Okay. Let me know. Call me.
Yeah. Okay. So, Rent a Friend, is... I think that there are people on there... working like as sex workers based on poking around it a little bit, but when sure. you use that site as a person who is a friend for hire, so like if I signed up to like be hired to go do fun things with people,
to be a friendship bandit,
yeah, I could select like the kinds of people who could like contact me. So you can select like only women contact me, only men, like only women and gay men, or like everyone, or like you can filter the results if you're worried about like people contacting you for sex work when that's not what you're doing. And you can also like say that on your profile explicitly. Anyway, the way that it's intended to use is like for people who maybe move to a new city or like I don't know, experienced a loss or just like are lonely and like maybe you're going to a basketball game and you really want someone to go with. You would get on there and you would see, okay, who are the friends on here who would want to go to a basketball game with me? And you'd search that hashtag and then you'd look through the profiles.
This again would be an area in which I would thrive. I would love to go to a basketball game.
I know
with
you
any
would.
Of you. All yes. of you listening, I would love to go.
Yeah, so if you wanted a female, if you're an older gentleman, you could get on and you could select female interested in going to a basketball game between the ages of 19 and 30. And if Austin was
Perfect.
On there, you would find her and her profile would pop up and it would say no sexual favors. And you'd be like, well, we'll see. But and then you would pay Austin between $10 and $20 an hour to go to this game with you. And then maybe your friends, maybe you're not.
I would know who the players were. Don't worry. I'm like a great...
And you could charge more for that reason.
Or I could, if you are like very into explaining the game to people who didn't understand it, I'm happy to play stupid. Mm. What's a shot clock? Anyway.
Oh my God. Yeah. Anyway, and on the website, they have this Fox News report, like with this woman who's like making a full living being a friend. And she talks about like all the different shit that she's doing for people. But you'd be open to being a rent-a-friend?
I don't know that I would really be open to it because I feel like that would... That's where I get, like, my like, little barometer for, like, this seems like it could be a dangerous situation.
I feel like people with mental illness are on there probably a lot. But, hey, I don't know. But also there's categories for, like, signing up, like, as, like, the elderly or, like, disabled people. And it's stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that.
You know? It's an old person that just wants a companion. And then you can get all their jewels, you know?
Oh, no, listen, we already are, like, gold diggers is a whole nother thing, okay?
Gotta get the jewels.
Run the jewels.
I don't know. I would do it. It could be fun. I feel like that, and in my younger years, I could definitely see myself. If I had known about this when I was, like, 19 or 20, or living in LA by myself, I would have been all over that rent-a-friend shit.
Yeah, you probably would have.
And I would have figured out how to charge more for certain things, and then I would go, like, offline for some things and just do it out of my pocket so I could charge. Anyway, whatever. I see a whole enterprise before me.
I see a whole enterprise for you right there, too. So what do you think? What do you think about anything like rent-a-friend, escorts? How are these band-aids? Like, healthy, not healthy? What's the vibe?
Both. I think both. I think they're a really natural thing that happens in like a capitalist society because like everyone's lonely no matter what. Not because capitalism, but everywhere. Like people are lonely sometimes and like we all want to connect with each other and communicating is hard and friendships are hard. And so like I don't know, with like the internet being available, I think it makes sense that we would all like figure out ways to like patch each other's needs, either for like money or like emotional sexual trade. You know what I mean? Because like everything is currency. Emotions are currency. Mm. Sex is currency. Like, I don't know. I'm not surprised by it, I guess is what I'm saying. And I don't think it's always bad. I just think that we all need to be more aware of what we're asking of others and what our expectations of others are. Because if you examine your expectations, a lot of times you can really correct some relationship issues, whether it's a friend or a fuck buddy or your partner or whatever.
Hmm. That's fair.
I don't know. Because it's entitlement is what fucks up the Band-Aid stuff. It's when someone starts to take you for granted when, like, you're not even their partner that it really sucks.
Yeah. That's that one part where you start to not feel like a whole person.
Exactly. Like, oh, I just exist for you in this capacity and that's it.
Yeah. And if you guys want to exist with each other in the same capacity, great. But in the same way, I feel like that people can feel, like, used physically, and that seems, like, really easy to wrap your head around. If somebody just wants to, like, emotionally dump on you, it also feels like you're just, like, a wall.
Yeah, and it's easier to feel like a tool when you're saying, like, hey, don't emotionally dump on me.
Yeah.
Whereas if you say, hey, I don't want to have sex with you, then it seems like the other person was using you.
Yep.
Hmm.
Mm. But both are kind of fucked.
But both are unfair. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and in the realm of unfair things, I think it's time to cue the vibraphone.
Cue it.
Cue it. Because we've kind of hearkened ourselves to exactly where I want to be.
Excellent.
And it's not a true Mary fuck kill, but it's in that realm.
A triangle game?
Which I feel like we've done a lot of.
Sorry.
I'm sorry, what?
A triangle game?
It's a triangle game, yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. We live in the triangles these days.
We do. Three choices with rules.
Three choices with rules. Welcome to how the show works. We use Wikipedia and we play three choices with rules.
Yeah.
So, your three choices with rules. Okay. So, your desired partner.
Mm-hmm.
This is the person that you want to be with. You've got the feels. This is the winner.
Mm-hmm.
It's not reciprocated.
Okay.
The way that you want it to be.
Okay, yeah.
But they do have a fondness for you.
Ah, okay.
And they're going to use you as a Band-Aid.
Mm-hmm.
In one of three ways.
Mm.
One of these three ways is your Mary. They're going to use you this way. The duration. This is how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
One of these choices is the fuck. They're going to do it one time, but that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And one of these is the kill. It's off the table. You're not getting used this way.
Okay.
So, the ways in which you are being used. Two of them I feel like are going to be pretty straightforward. We'll start there. One, you are their fuck buddy. They're using you in a sexual way. They just want to have sex with you.
Okay, sure.
The other is that you are their emotional support. Mm-hmm. They want to talk out their problems to you. They are going to be like, maybe like verbally affectionate and like just like really care about like talking and like feeling it all out. But like, you're just their friend. Like, if you were mm-hmm. ever to feel some other kind of way, like, no. Like, yeah. Not like that, though. Like, I care about you, but, like, not like that.
Right.
And then the other way is that they're going to use you as a stand-in.
Mm.
And the stand-in vibe is that,
that's the, you know,
they might be, like,
one.
Seeing somebody else. Or they might not be. But you are somebody that is, like, better to, like, hang with, but you're, like, definitely better to introduce to people most of the time than whoever they're actually seeing. So, like, they'll probably take you, like, out to dinner with their friends when they need, like, when it's a bunch of couples, they want you to come. They might use you as a wedding date. if they like were in a situation that they like needed someone to come to a family thing with them, like they'd mm-hmm. probably call you. Mm-hmm. Like you're the surrogate, like social surrogate. Like,
yeah,
come with me to this thing. You're on a date.
Right. Permanent date. Yeah.
Permanent date, which we didn't touch on too much, but it's a very real thing.
It is. It's similar to the stand-in, which we did talk about, but can be different. Yeah. Being a stand-in, if that also includes, like, we are dating, like, we're in a relationship while you are pining for other people but don't want to be alone.
They're not really, like, they might go out to dinner with you on, like, a Friday night because they want to go to that, like, great new, like, restaurant, but, like, aren't dating someone or, like, don't want to go with the other person, like, because, nah, that's not quite the right scene for that relationship.
Okay.
But they're not dating you, but they probably are going on dates with you, but, like, okay. You're not dating.
Are we fucking or nah?
No.
Okay.
They are socially using you. You go on dates.
But I am, like, in love with this person.
Yeah.
Okay. I would say that I would choose to have a long-term sexual relationship with that person, and that's it. So that's like my marry choice. So like for the long term, like I think that the least destructive thing for me would be to have a sexual relationship with them. And I say that because I think that when I think about what it feels like to really pine for someone or to really want them, like thinking about having an emotional relationship and no physical relationship feels like so much like longing and tension and hurt that like I don't think I could handle that for forever. Whereas like having a physical relationship, at least there's like some kind of release happening, and like if I have like I don't know like anger or anything, like it can kind of like come out like during sex in a way that I feel like if I'm constantly being used as emotional support, like it's just different. And also I feel like I would be so hurt by this person constantly because I'm in love with them and they don't want me, but they kind of want me, that I would probably not want to be real, like open and honest with them that often. So like for that reason, I think having a sexual relationship, because you don't have to talk that much. Like we don't have to share all of our like problems and like deep fears and desires, like that feels doable. That's shitty, but like that's definitely what my choice is, because it feels like I would be the least hurt by that, and like maybe I'd kind of get something out of it.
I don't think that's shitty. I think you're like discussing what would feel the most self-preserving for you, and yeah, sex.
Yeah, that's the most self-preserving for sure. Then I would choose to be I choose emotional, like, relationship or emotional band-aid as, like, the short-term choice. I could do that for a little while. I have done that for a little while with people who I've, like, had crushes on. And it can be exhilarating, honestly. But I couldn't do it forever. And then as far as, like, being a stand-in or being a date, like, with someone's, like, or meeting someone's family because you're, like, the appropriate choice, or like their friends like you and so you're convenient but you actually really like them, that feels terrible. Like that just feels like an almost and a whole evening that you can't really enjoy because like you want to be with this person who you're physically with but they're not even really like present with you. I don't know, that sex feels the most doable. And then short-term emotional fling because it's exciting, and then if we're fucking anyway, that's great, but I'll just be over here in the corner pretending not to be upset. I don't know.
Real.
What do you choose? That took me a long time to answer. I'm sorry.
No, I thought it was actually thoughtful. And in a way that harkens us to our true roots, I'm going to make a completely different decision.
Most definitely. Yeah.
My Mary.
And we have different love language shit too. So like I feel like I'm sneaking in a little like extra satisfaction by choosing to have sex with this person all the time, just because like physically touching them would like I could like leech some of my needs from that. Go ahead.
Yeah. Listen, you were being self-preserving and also like, you know, getting you some in the ways that you could in a situation that like you found some love in a hopeless place.
Yes. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So my completely different answer to this question is, I actually am going to kill the sex. And I know that I'm going to kill the sex because I think for me,
it's probably the most hurtful.
It's the most, I think it's probably the most hurtful, or like the one that makes me, and I'm going to own this too. I'd like just dynamically, like, as like you date women, I date men.
That does make it very different just because gender politics.
Yeah. I feel like there's some stuff in there that like, I just like couldn't roll with.
Yeah, for sure. Other woman shit that's got its own narrative and yeah.
Yeah. And so there's that. And then also, I think just because, like, I know myself, at least at this stage in my life, like, my feelings about myself in that situation, I think if I were somebody's, like, emotional support and, like, it weren't convenient for me in some ways, like, and I full knew this person was using me, I don't know. For some reason, I think if that were a relationship, it would be easier for me to say no to them at times. Whereas if someone wanted to have sex and I was really in love with them, it would be harder for me to say no.
Oh, that's a good point.
And I also think that long term, if I wanted to find happiness with someone who also really cared about me, I think it would be harder for me to find that other person while I was sleeping with someone else, but not while I was, like, emotionally invested in someone else.
I thought about that, too. That, like, my choice would probably prevent me from having another partner ever.
It's honest.
Yeah.
Whereas
if I chose to be a permanent date, that would be, like, something I could detach from pretty easily.
Sure. Sure. So, yeah, I'm throwing away the sex. My, like, one night in heaven is, yeah, sure. Like, I'll go to a wedding with you. Sounds chill. I'm a very fun wedding date. I feel very confident in that realm.
That is the good one-off choice.
Yeah, just, like, one night I'll go with you to a wedding, or, like, we'll get dinner in a way that totally is a date and then, like, doesn't end that way.
Yeah.
And I'll be disappointed in both those times, but like I'll also like hopefully have a lot of fun in the moment and then be like, well, so it's my one night. And then my like marriage is that I'm gonna be like emotionally in it to win it. And I think I could hack that, because I think If there were room for me, like, if it weren't, like, we're, like, really emotionally invested in each other, but it's not, like, I never listen to your feelings.
Yeah, you have an emotional relationship with this person who you're in love with, but they're not super in love with you.
Yeah, I think but that, it like, is two-way. Yeah, if it was two-way, I think, like, at some point I could, like, overcome my own, like, love feelings and just, like, have a really good friendship, I would hope. Even though it could be really hard. So I think, like, that feels right. Now, if they were making no space for me emotionally, I think I would just end up really resenting them. And so it also would, again, be easier for me to be like, boy, bye.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's my self-preservation. Like, I put myself in a situation that I'm like, what could I say no to the easiest?
That's interesting.
Yeah, so two totally different answers.
Stand by my choices, yeah.
Yeah, I stand by mine, and, like, you know, band-aids for all, because our knees are totally scraped.
We are.
But if you've been a band-aid, or you know a band-aid, or...
Or you want a band-aid.
Yeah, or you want a band-aid. Or if you're not sure if you're a band-aid. Or if you're not sure if you're using someone else as a band-aid.
Or that.
Or if you haven't Googled a clitoris yet... you can definitely start a Google for that one. And you can get at us, like always, on the internet, on Instagram at whyyoulikethispod, or via email with all your tales, at whyyoulikethispod@gmail.com.
And tweet at us at WAYLT tweets
on Twitter.
Bye.
Bye.